The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're 3 weeks into the NFL season, and, you know, if we get to four, right, that's, you know, getting closer and closer to, like, half the time, right? 25% of the league. We don't want to make overreactions. We don't want to say this team's in trouble, that this team is not playing well or whatever. Teams can change things around. But what we're seeing with the young quarterbacks in this league is refreshing. I think everybody, for the most part, not everybody, but for the most part, everybody, has a good perspective on this. Just enjoy it for while it lasts. If you're a Cleveland Browns fan, you can't expect Baker Mayfield to go out and light it up every single week. There's going to be some growing pains in the league as the league readjusts to him. The same thing that's going to happen to Josh Allen. I wonder if it's ever going to happen to Patrick Mahomes. It doesn't look like it is right now, but nevertheless, there is going to be an adjustment, right? As defenses get more and more tape, then your quarterback makes adjustments to those adjustments, and then they can really start to establish themselves in this league with the talent that they do have. Baker Mayfield Thursday night, for example, really was electrifying, right? I'm in agreement with a lot of people that says, hey, listen, this doesn't mean anything for the Browns. It doesn't mean they're going to be successful this year. I think it's just something to enjoy. What I've been reluctant to do is kind of put this down, put this euphoria in Cleveland down because of the reality that usually befalls young quarterbacks in this league, which is eventually you're going to struggle. And when you struggle, then we'll really see who you are. The history books of the NFL are filled with rookie quarterbacks or second year guys who come out of nowhere, come off the bench and just play great, only to really never be heard from again after a couple of weeks. So we've gotten that tale many, 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 many times. But the reality of it is if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, this is just fun and this is excitement. If you're a Buffalo Bills fan and you like the way Josh Allen looked running that ball and having some moxie in his game, albeit fantastic. If Josh Rosen starts doing some good things in Arizona, just enjoy it. That's what this time is for. It is not to remind yourself that they may struggle and they may come back to the norm. Enjoy it while it's hot.
Now, back to SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Look, I'll admit that I think there's a lot of nuggets that come out of every week in the NFL. It feels like there's a lot in week three. Josh Alper joins us, NBC Sports Pro Football Talk, to help us break down what we saw on Sunday. How are you, Josh?
Doing great.
All right, Josh, I want to talk about the Patriots last night. Look, I mean, we do this every year with them. They have an early season game that they don't look good, and people kind of want to bury them and say, oh, maybe this is the end. But then they come back and win 12 in a row. But is there something about this Patriots team when you saw last night that says, hey, look, they got a problem here, and they better fix this?
Yeah, well, I think there's a bunch of places where you look at it and see those issues. And I would say, just overall talent. I mean, I think there's a reason they went out and took a chance on Josh Gordon. It team does not have guys that are winning battles down the field. And there are times where you just look at Tom Brady. There was that one play in the second half where he just kind of threw the ball out of the back of the end zone. He was protected fine, and there just was absolutely nobody open. And he missed throws. Everything's off. I think you can only cycle so many new players through and expect to get the same results for so long. At some point, you're going to miss. Now, I think it's too soon to say that the Patriots have missed this season and that it's all going downhill from here. But I you look at these other teams that they're playing, even the Lions, there's just more talent on the other side of the field.
All right, let's go to the team that's leading that division, the Miami Dolphins, at 3-0. I haven't spotted them or sold them yet. It's still kind of early. But what do you like about what Miami's doing so far, besides just winning games?
The creativity on offense and finding ways to get there. They couldn't run the ball at all yesterday. Everybody knew they were going to throw it because they couldn't do anything on the ground. And the way that they did it and the creativity, obviously the Miami special, not the Philly special, the Albert Wilson play where he threw the ball to Jakeem Grant was great. But, you know, Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker, Gesicki, the rookie tight end, they have a lot of different weapons. And Adam Gase did a really good job of finding ways to get the ball into each of those players' hands in ways that they could make big plays. And I think that was what we saw with before Ryan Tannehill got hurt 2 years ago. And they're kind of picking that back up. And I think the interim, we kind of reverted back to what Tannehill was before that season, in my mind anyway, and the iffy kind of quarterback, and he's not. He looks really so comfortable and in command of that offense that it's, I think, very sustainable for them.
All right, let's go to another team that's 3-0. That's Kansas City. They beat San Francisco, and Patrick Mahomes continuing to throw touchdowns. He got 13 on the season with no picks. When does this stop becoming amazing and just becoming normal for Kansas City? When do we just sort of go, well, this is what we expect from Patrick Mahomes every week?
I kind of felt that way yesterday. I was focused on other games for PFT, but it was, you know, you would obviously see the score splash across and see what's going on, and it's like, oh yeah, Patrick Mahomes, three touchdown passes. Of course he did. It's just, you know, it's like, you know, water, air, and Mahomes throws three touchdowns. It does feel that way. And again, I think that given the talent they have around him and the pieces and the way that Andy Reid can move pieces around, I don't see how anyone's stopping him. Now, I think there'll be weeks where it's a little tougher to come by, but I really think, you know, these kinds of three touchdown games, it feels like we're going to look at the end of the season. It's going to look like a Drew Brees season.
Yeah, and this is one of those weird things because we were talking about it last week and it kind of leads into, again, the same conversation is I don't remember, and my memory is not as long as it probably should be, but I don't remember a Chiefs offense looking like this. I can't remember a quarterback for Kansas City that had an offense so vertical like this. I mean, am I missing a year or two there, Josh? I mean, is this because it doesn't seem that way?
No, I don't. I think you're right. And I think that, look, I think they were really, they maximized what you could get out of Alex Smith and they did a really good job offensively with that. But you take some of those kinds of concepts and spreading the ball around and creative ways to line up and creative ways to get the ball around. And you add the vertical dimension to it. And it is just, I don't know what you're supposed to do as a defensive coordinator, especially since Mahomes isn't like Eli Manning back there. He can move. That scrambling touchdown yesterday was I think that and Drew Brees' spin move were the two best plays I saw all day.
Josh Alper joins us, NBC Sports Pro Football Talk on week 3 in the NFL on Sunday. You know, I always remind people, you know, I say, listen, you know, it's razor thin in this league from top to bottom, the best versus the worst, but even with that explanation, I can't explain how the Bills pull this off in Minnesota. Do you have any insight as to what the Bills were doing game plan wise to beat a team like Minnesota and do it handedly?
Well, you know, I think it helps when you can rush the passer. And everybody talked about the Vikings offensive line being sketchy. coming into the season. And then we kind of put it aside that that tie was so weird against the Packers last week that you didn't really talk about the fact that, you know, Clay Matthews roughed the passer, got that roughing the passer penalty because the Vikings couldn't block him well enough. And I think you saw that early. They stripped Kirk Cousins of the ball twice in the first, I don't know, 6-7 minutes. And at that point, the game was pretty much over. It was 17-0 in the first quarter. And the Vikings had no Dalvin Cook. They couldn't run, so they couldn't even bother trying to run the ball. And the Bills were just pinned back and coming after them. A really good defensive game plan, and not one that you normally see from Leslie Frazier. I wonder if Sean McDermott had more to do with that, and perhaps changing things up a bit in Buffalo to just say, look, we can play conservatively with a rookie quarterback and a lack of offensive talent, or we can just go balls to the wall and really try for it.
Let's get to Clay Matthews, because I thought he made a poignant statement on the league and his situation and what he's going through as a pass rusher and a guy that gets paid to go after the quarterback. But I think this is going to fall on deaf ears with the league that will just continue to double down on this. But is the league worried about how the fans are going to take this, or do they think the fans will just adjust their thinking as to what going after the quarterback and using your weight to take down a quarterback is going to be?
I'm curious to see. There's part of me that feels we're going to see a correction like we saw with the lowering the helmet rule in the preseason, where there was such an outcry. And now that's barely been a topic. I think there's three or four penalties for that through the first 3 weeks of the season. And obviously this roughing the passer has become a bigger deal. But look, I think it is a problem for the NFL. If every single time the defense makes a big play, the first thing you do is look. If you're at the game, you look at the field to see if there's a flag, or you look at the bottom corner of your TV screen to see, you know, if that yellow box comes on, because it just feels like this endless cycle where the referees are constantly in the story. And I don't think that's good for the league. And I don't think that's something that they're going to want. And I agree with Clay Matthews and defensive players. What are you supposed to do? If that's really what you want, then if the quarterback gets touched, then the play has to be blown dead. And no tackling the quarterbacks? Is that really what anybody wants? Does no one want to see a guy spin out of a tackle and throw a touchdown pass? Of course you do. But you can't have it both ways and have it be a full contact sport. And I do hope that there's some sort of a correction to say, that there needs to be. I know you don't want officials judging intent, and that adds something to an already difficult job. But a play like Clay Matthews yesterday, that's how you're taught to play football. And to all of a sudden ask players to change that on the fly is really unreasonable.
And I understand. Look, I get it. I mean, the quarterback is the most important position in all of sports, but it clearly is the most important position in football. But we had somebody call and point out, look, if I root for a J.J. Watt or if I root for a Clay Matthews, they're virtually the thing they do best is almost neutralized.
Oh, it's become neutralized. I think that there are within this world of roughing the passer, there are ones that absolutely positively need to be called because they're a flagrant violation of the rules. And then there's these plays where a player does everything right and it hurts. And it's a big hit, and it's the kind of hit that may result in a quarterback getting injured. And look, I know that that's the bread and butter for the NFL, but that level of risk is one of the things that I think everybody enjoys about the league. I know it's something I don't enjoy players getting hurt, but the drama of that and what happens when you lose Carson Wentz in the middle of the season is something that the NFL has done very well with on its own. So I just think that it's something that the negatives far outweigh the positives.
One more question before we go. In terms of Houston Texans, this has been disappointing because they were a team I was excited to see when they were healthy. What I saw last year, I thought it could be repeated this year. But they're 0-3. What's going on in Houston? Why is this struggling?
I think there's been so many different parts of it, but I think that they haven't just picked up where things left off before Deshaun Watson got hurt, and he's looked tentative at times. They've looked unsure at times. And I don't know that they have the right grasp on how to get the ball moving. It's like when they do, the offense finally got going in the second half. It was after the defense fell down in the first half. And so they haven't found a way to get everything kicking on all cylinders at once. And I think it's getting late to expect that they're just going to be able to flip that switch. The offensive line isn't good enough to sustain those kinds of long drives. And I think that the pass rush, J.J. Watt got going in the second half yesterday. Maybe that's something that can continue. But it hasn't been good enough to cover for a kind of patchy secondary.
Josh, great stuff as always. Hope to catch up with you soon. Thank you so much.
Good one, guys.
You got Josh Alper again, NBC Sports Pro Football Talk, on our BetDSI Inside Line. BetDSI has got a new deal for you. They're offering those of you who listen to our show a 125% deposit bonus. And you can use that with our promo code NATION101. Go to BetDSI.com now. Use promo code NATION101. You get 125% deposit bonus when you make your first deposit at BetDSI.com. And all of our guests are brought to you by BetDSI.com. Get in on all the plays and the inside line at BetDSI.com. 800-777-2907, the telephone number. Or you can catch us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, at Ron Culver with two N's, as we always like to point out here on SB Nation AM.
Turn it up!
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you can be with us here on SB Nation AM this morning. Thanks to Josh Alper, joining us from NBC Sports. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you're guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts you need. Guaranteed low prices ensure you're always getting the best deal. In fact, O'Reilly's will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. They have the parts you need at the prices you can be sure of at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Boy, what do you think the mood is going to be this week in Houston with the 0-3 start for the Texans?
Oh, I can already tell you. It's fire Billy O'Brien.
And thank God the Astros are in the playoffs?
Yeah, there was something interesting that came out. I saw it in a tweet, and I don't remember who said it, but there was somebody in the Texas organization who went ahead and said that this is Texan City. And then last night, this guy put this out on Twitter was at the game, and as people were leaving the stadium, we're talking about the Astros.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
And so it's like this
becoming an Astros city.
Any city is going to chase the winner.
Yeah, but you know, that's a good question. Is a city identified with a team win or lose, or does the city does it change? Because every city gets with the winner. That's not that, you know, that's the basis. But that does it mean it's not a
no,
so X town.
I think what it is, I mean, you take a team like Dallas, right? Dallas is Cowboys. It always has been, always will be. I mean, the Rangers literally are right across the street from AT&T Stadium, but people may not even know that the Texas Rangers play in the Dallas area.
Yeah, but the 2 years that the Rangers went to the World Series, no one would say it was a Rangers town.
No, not at all. And to a certain point, I don't even think they would say it here. I don't even think they would say, oh, this is an Astros town. It's just we're high on, you know, the city is high on the Astros right now because of the fact that, hey, they won a World Series last year, you know, the first time ever for the franchise. And, you know, they got a really great team this year and have a good shot of getting back to the World Series. And if they can get to the World Series, like I believe that American League team is going to win the World Series again this year. But it's still it's Texas. Texas is known for football. It's still going to be the Houston Texans.
Where you get it is
they still sell out.
When I lived in Denver, I'll give you a perfect example. Denver has a sports station that does nothing but Broncos, like 24 hours a day. Well, not 24 hours a day, but you know when they're on locally, and 365 days a year. They don't even pay attention.
Why don't you just say a year? Why do you got to put days on it?
That's true. Why do I say, yeah, that's right. Why do we put days on it, right? Why don't I just say a year? nice. That was good. But like the Rockies are heading to the postseason. Could be heading to the postseason. And yet it's a Broncos town. When the Avalanche were good, when I got to Denver in the early 2000s and the Avalanche made the playoffs every year, It was never going to be an Avalanche town. It was always a Broncos town. It was never going to be a Nuggets town. The Nuggets have been there, you know, forever and a day, and yet never going to be a Nuggets town. But you see very rarely do you find cities in America that is identified with something other than if they have a local NFL team, other than a local NFL team.
I would say New York City.
New York City's probably that.
Because I would identify them with Yankees more so than Giants or Jets.
Yeah, that's probably right. St. Louis is a baseball town. Even when the Rams are there, it was a baseball town.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of a couple of others. Atlanta is an interesting city because Atlanta is not anybody's town but college football. Like, I think Atlanta doesn't – I mean, the Hawks are as popular as when they win as the Falcons are as popular as the Braves are as popular. I mean
– yep.
It goes up and down, but college football, I mean, Georgia, you know that sort of SEC area is pretty much king there.
Here's an interesting one. What about Chicago?
So yeah, Chicago, I haven't done any time in Chicago, but I think it's
I guess living in Chicago would feel like doing time.
Yeah.
What you're saying.
Good point. I think it's a Bears town because I'm not going to give it the Blackhawks and I'm not going to give it to the Blackhawks or the Bulls.
No, not at all.
And because the baseball team is split, because the fan base is split, then I think it's a Bears fan that Bears team that it unites the city.
I see.
Does that make sense?
I get that. I'd say L.A. growing up, L.A. was a Dodger town, but it's also basketball.
Yeah.
And that was just because they haven't had a football team in a long time. And even though they have two right now who fought to the death yesterday.
A battle royale in L.A.
Yeah. I still don't see it ever really becoming around to being a baseball town. I don't really see it being really a sports town.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's. I mean, I always think of it as a Laker town, but, you know, that's. I don't know. But that's kind of interesting. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, like, but I guess the only Nashville, one, New York's the only one that strikes me as just being baseball, not football.
Yeah. Tennessee, I mean, where I live in Nashville, it's a Titans town. It's mostly a college deal. College is the big conversation. And it's funny because the Predators are fantastic and they're popular. The Predators are really popular. Like, they're more popular than I thought when I first moved here. I remember as I was coming here, I was coming in from Colorado and people were like, "Oh, Predators, good luck with hockey in the South." And when I got here, I went to a game within my first week. And it was packed and was filled with people who knew the game. And it was fun. Country music artists play in between periods. But it's the South. It's a football town. It's an SEC.
Well, I feel that way. Yeah, the whole Southeastern.
Yeah.
Like, even with Carolina, with, you know, the teams in Florida, I feel all those areas, it's like, no, that's more college football than anything.
That's pretty much, yeah, exactly. Same with Florida. I mean, if you go to Tampa, it's obviously a Buccaneers town in Tampa, but I mean, it's a city that's divided between Gator fans, Noles fans, and South Florida fans and whatnot. But there's such an infusion of that into the sports culture that it's hard to discern NFL versus college. Those two presences really stand out and enough to make you think, yeah, this is debatable as to what's more popular. It's kind of neat to go through that. You know, I'll give you another example. Despite all the success of the Patriots, Boston is a Red Sox town.
Yep.
It is a baseball town.
Yeah, it is.
So, and even when the Celtics won championships in the 80s and the Red Sox weren't winning anything, it was a Red Sox town.
It was how they identified themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
It was almost like Boston was almost the you loved the city because you felt bad for it.
Yeah, it's not to get all Bill Simmons on anybody, but the whole we're lovable losers, like, feel our pain, have sympathy for us, wah, 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 my great-grandfather never saw them win anything, wah, wah, wah.
We're always in the shadow of that other city south of us.
Just south of us, that empire down there is winning everything, wah, wah, wah.
But it's so true. I mean, when you think about it, Boston, almost like maybe just like 10, 15 years ago, it felt like they had every single sports team had the banner.
Oh, it was crazy.
Had the trophy.
I used to say this all the time. I was like, there's never been a fan base more spoiled over a 10-year period than Boston fans. More, I mean, nothing like it I have ever seen in sports. Nothing like it. You could graph it out from the 2001
Patriots
Super Bowl win by the Patriots. You can count, what, 5 Patriots championships, 3 Red Sox championships, a Stanley Cup, and a Celtics not only NBA title, but an appearance in the NBA Finals. And they got all 4 of their teams win championships within a 10-year period. That's insane. That's insane. And I remember when the Bruins won in 2011. I was like, this is stupid. God, how did Boston, what deal with the sports devil did they make to land this? Where the Bruins are going to win the Stanley Cup on top of the Celtics winning the title? I mean, I was excited about the Celtics winning the
but
title.
We could easily make that argument. Had the Red Sox still, had they found a way to choke up, you know, maybe they got swept by the Yankees in that 04 championship.
In the 04, right.
Right. We could still make that argument that they're a lovable loser. Even though they had all the Super Bowl rings, NBA, all the,
still the same
Stanley
city,
Cup,
right.
Still lovable loser.
Because they would bring up 1918. They just, 1918. It's going on 100 years. I can't, we haven't won anything. The Sox haven't won a thing. Well, now they got 3. And they'll probably get another one this year. They're that good. SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I know we're talking a lot about the NFL in Week 3, and we're also talking Tiger Woods, his victory at the Tour Championship. By the way, the Ryder Cup starts this week. It's one of my favorite events in sports. I love the Ryder Cup.
Tiger's going to single-handedly win it, by the way.
I can't wait. I cannot wait till Friday. When this thing starts. I love the Ryder Cup. The problem is I don't like the Ryder Cup in the every 4 years when it's in Europe because it's on really early and it's just...
Well, now you won't... You can't, you'll have a good issue. Watch it. Now you won't have that issue.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Now I can watch it right after the show Friday. I can do that.
You can be the old man like who falls asleep during the golf tournament.
Yeah,
then you
that's
wake
right.
up, you make up and it's like, oh, great, it's still going on. Catch up real quick.
It's going to be in Paris, France.
They don't have golf in Paris.
I know.
Come on.
You know what? I lived in France for a month. I was an exchange student when I was a teenager. And the family that I lived with, the guy played golf. And he took me to a golf course. And I was like trying to figure it all out in meters. Like I didn't know how to do the math. In meters, and then the guy said, "No, you can just here's a scorebook for or a thing for yardage, for yards." I was like, "Oh, okay." I was thinking metric system, like Royale with cheese.
Yeah,
like I was thinking it's metric system. He's like, "No,
yeah, I'm gonna hit this 100 meters."
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, "Well, do I have to make adjustments to meters to yards?" Like, no,
yeah. It's all what's yards. Bigger. A meter is bigger than a yard, right?
Yes.
Or is a yard bigger than a meter?
Meter is a little bit more than a yard.
So then if you have 100 meters, you're like, pulling out the wood.
That 100 meters, yes, that's right. 100 meters is longer than 100 yards. At least that's what I believe. I'm going to stick to it.
I'm with you.
Yeah, so, but anyway.
But Tiger's going to win it all.
One of the reasons that I like the Ryder Cup so much is golf. Listen, I play. I'll be dead honest with you. It ain't the funnest thing to watch on TV. Right? It's not the most exciting sport to watch on TV. The Ryder Cup, though, is so team-oriented, and there's a level, and I think it's somewhat artificial in terms of the fans, the love that they want Team Europe or Team USA to win the cup. That the stuff you don't see at an everyday golf tournament. The fans reacting, the fans going crazy, the fans kind of cheering bad shots that you don't see in tournaments, you see at the Ryder Cup. You have golfers that will say, listen, I've won majors, I've teed it up in majors, I've been in the final round, I've never been more nervous than when I've teed it up with the Ryder Cup, especially on hostile territory. Now, the guy who revels in it is Masters champion Patrick Reed. He loves it. I mean, he loves getting under the skin of the European crowds. He shushed them 4 years ago and he made a putt, and then everybody was kind of cheering and he booed him. He kind of shushed him. It's just fun. It's just a fun way to watch golf. I wanted to get to baseball real quick because even though we've been talking a lot about the Tiger Woods and the NFL, the Red Sox have clinched the East. We brought that up last week, did it on the Yankees soil. They have 105 wins on the season with the week to play. The Yankees, however, clinched a postseason berth. They are going to be a wild card team. Now, this is what I don't understand. The other wild card is not set yet. Oakland hasn't won that yet. Why not? They're 6.5 ahead of Tampa Bay, I guess, with 7 games remaining.
Yeah, they just didn't know which player to call up. The problem.
Boy, I'm falling in love with Chris Davis all of a sudden. All he does is hit homers. He hits dingers. So the A's and the Yankees are going to be the wild card teams, likely. You know what they haven't done it yet is because the Astros have clinched a playoff berth, but they have yet to clinch the division. So there's still a chance that they go into a slump the final week of the year and the A's catch them. Cleveland has won the Central. They've won that by 15 games. Atlanta has won the East. The Braves are heading to the postseason for the first time in a while. But nothing else is locked in the National League. It's all up for grabs, Ron Culver, including your Dodgers, a game and a half lead over the Rockies in the West.
That's, yeah.
Yep.
I've already given up. I think the Dodgers...
Don't give up!
The Dodgers are going to make it.
The Dodgers are going to make it? Or not?
Sure.
Okay, why not? Sure.
I don't know which way to lean anymore with them.
Well, this is interesting. The Rockies, if whoever wins that division better make sure they've got... Whoever doesn't win that division better make sure they're still winning some games because Milwaukee and St. Louis have the two wildcard teams. The Rockies right now are on outs. So Milwaukee and St. Louis are the wildcard teams. Colorado, if they don't win the West, would not make the postseason, despite the fact they're 15 games above 500. But you know who's had a good year this year and is going to go nowhere? Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
They're 87-68. That's almost 20 games above 500. And they'll go nowhere. Blake Snell's going to win the Cy Young. He's got 21 wins on the
year. At least he should.
Yeah, he should. Who knows if he will.
But I was looking it up real quick. Chris Davis versus the Orioles watch.
Oh, yeah, that's right. How is that going? Because we brought that up last week.
Tied at 45 apiece.
Excellent. Orioles need to stumble down the stretch. Get that roll.
That is so ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Orioles.
No, I saw this when you were talking about Snell winning the Cy Young.
Yes.
And, you know, there's an argument for Jacob DeGrom to win the Cy Young.
Did you see my retweet over the weekend?
I did see that. I wanted to bring that up.
This is an amazing retweet. This is a retweet. I shouldn't say that. It's a tweet. It's an amazing retweet by me because I'm an amazing retweeter.
Yes, it is.
Robert Gsellman. I don't know if it's the Robert Gsellman. I'm kind of hoping it is. The pitcher for the Mets has got this. Put this out. If the Mets had scored 4 runs in each of Jacob DeGrom's starts, he'd be 30-0.
Which isn't a tall task.
That's not a tall task. If they had scored 3 runs a game in each of Jacob DeGrom's starts this year, he'd be 25-1. And if they scored 2, which is for the love of
2
Pete,
runs.
For the love of Pete, if you can't score 2 runs in a game, you should be disbanded from baseball.
Or going up against one of the best pitchers of all time.
You better be going up against a hybrid of Cy Young and Roger Clemens.
Yes.
If they had scored 2 runs in each of Jacob DeGrom's starts this year, all they had to do was score 2 runs, Jacob DeGrom would be 20-6, and there'd be no question that he'd win the Cy Young. So Gsellman adds, I don't understand how you can argue that his win-loss record is indicative of his pitching ability. Now, I will say this. Michael Wilbon on PTI or whatever show he's on is so anti-DeGrom just on win-loss record. That is so old-school thinking. I get it. Win-loss record is important because that's in the end, that's the main thing we judge pitchers, that in ERA. All the other things that we're doing with pitchers, that's all secondary. It's ERA and wins and losses. But this has got to be in consideration. The Mets have been absolutely abysmal when Jacob DeGrom starts.
Here, I'll do one better for you. You take Jacob DeGrom's win-loss record in consideration for MVP.
Exactly.
Because he didn't, you know, obviously, I mean, he did everything he could, but you can't consider him the MVP because he didn't propel his team to the next level.
Ugh.
But, you know, as far as like getting a Cy Young as being the best overall pitcher in the league, yeah, I mean, his wins, loss are terrible, but that's not on him. I mean, he's throwing shutouts. He's, what, his ERA is below two. Isn't it below 1.5?
Yes, and think about what Gesellman tweets out here. Think about this for a second. That means if the Mets had scored 4 runs in each of his starts and he went 30-0, that means not one time this season, not one time did Jacob DeGrom explode. Not one time. Didn't have it. 7 runs over 3 1/3. Easy, early night for Jacob DeGrom. You know, and then afterwards, like, well, fastball wasn't working, and I was working on my cutter and just didn't break as much as I wanted, and they tagged me early. And no, he never had that moment. In all of his starts this year, he never had that moment. Great pitchers have that moment. Are you kidding? And he didn't. So, plus, as we've said many, many times in the show, we're like a broken record. Jacob DeGrom with a crappy win-loss record and winning the Cy Young is a very Metsy thing to do this season.
Oh, yeah. No, he is. All right, just looked up his ERA. His ERA is 1.77. His whip is 0.9.
Oh, God. Yes, he would get my vote.
But his record is out of 31 games started, he's 9-9. 259 strikeouts.
He's 9-9 because his team doesn't hit. His team but that isn't. Hit.
If his team was able to get 4 runs, he'd be 30-0, and we'd be talking about him being the greatest. It'd be one of the all-time great pitching seasons ever.
That is Sid Finch like. Do you remember Sid Finch from the April Fool's joke of '85, where George Plimpton wrote a fake article about a guy who could throw 180 miles an hour? That's Sid Finch like 30-0 with an ERA like that. Nice job, man. He was also a Met. The Sid Finch joke. He also was a Met. It's one of the great practical jokes Sports Illustrated ever pulled. And I bought it, too. I was a kid. And I remember reading this article about Sid Finch. And George Plimpton, the great writer, if those of you who are not familiar with Sid Finch, wrote this great article in 1985. It was one of the greatest April Fool's jokes of all time. And he wrote this article, and it was for the April 1st edition of Sports Illustrated, the year Villanova won the NCAA title. And George Plimpton wrote a story about a guy who studied yoga and grew up in like the Himalayas, and he learned the mythical art of throwing a baseball. He had learned a way for his body to be manipulated in such a way that he could propel a baseball 169 miles per hour. And the article was filled with all sorts of pictures of like Ron Reynolds, the catcher, like with his hand, like his hurt hand, because he was catching this guy's 169 mile an hour fastball. They had actual scouting reports that had lettering like, you've got to see this to believe this, right? Lenny Dykstra was like caught. They had a photo of him throwing his arms up in the air. Like, I didn't even see the baseball. And so there was all this, people were going crazy. They're like, what? You know, who is this guy? Where did he come from? And it was later revealed it was a practical joke. But one of the things that came in the aftermath was Met fans angry at the time, like, of all the teams you could have picked to lay this out, to lay this phenomenal pitcher out and to give false hope, you picked the New York Mets. Not the Yankees, not teams that had success in the past that you could hurt their hearts. You picked the Mets. And that was kind of the side angle to it. But nevertheless, it's very Sid Finch-like if you went 30. When was the last time we had a 30-game winner? Well, Denny McClain?
Yeah.
Right? In the 60s? And all the Mets had to do was score 4 runs. And
Jim Palmer came close, didn't he?
Jim Palmer did come close, yeah. That was the year the Orioles had 4 pitchers that went over 20 games.
Yeah.
In the early 70s.
Well, I thought for sure that could be the Astros this year.
Yeah, that's right. Dallas Keuchel struggled early, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gerrit Cole's pitching great, though.
Yeah, that's...
Can't wait. You know what? I don't know. I kind of want to see the Yankees. But the Red Sox, a Red Sox-Astros ALCS is going to be great.
It will be.
Going to be great.
That'll be the World Series.
Unless the A's screw it up for all of us.
Which they will.
Sorry, Oakland. And no offense to you people in Oakland, but you're not even going to see the A's. Why should I watch them in the ALCS?
Yeah, I know. Rod Smith is going to light it up. Right? Joe Jenkins.
Joe Jenkins.
Of the Oakland A's.
Matt Smith.
There you go.
The Oakland A's. Oh,
it's going to ruin everything.
Spoil the party.
That Joe Jenkins.
That's right. Spoiling all our fun. SB Nation AM, Tony D and Ron Culver on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us here on SB Nation AM, week three of the National Football League. We'll get into the college games over the weekend coming up on tomorrow's show. By the way, Texas, is there a buzz in Houston about the Longhorns, or is that too far away?
No, you got some transplants here.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good town.
A few transplants here.
They're good. That was a fun game. They're good. I don't know if they're great, but that was pretty fun. You know what game was really interesting to me in college football? And I'll get more into it tomorrow. Army. Did you see that overtime game for Oklahoma Army?
Yes.
I didn't get the game on TV. But, I mean, we watched Florida-Tennessee. Ugh. What a dog game that was.
And speaking on Army, did you see what they did to their locker room?
Yeah, they cleaned it perfectly.
Leave it as you found it.
They left it the way you found it, yeah. They kept the ball for 45 minutes in that game against Oklahoma. Isn't that incredible? That's what you do when you have that run offense, triple option.
Yeah.
I remember doing an Air Force game. I was doing Air Force Navy. Both teams ran the triple option. And I was working for one of those call-in things where you like call in scores and stuff. And I remember saying, this game is going to last 30 seconds. Like, we were out of that stadium in the shortest amount of time. The clock, like, never stopped except when it had to stop, you know, like, you know, just media timeouts or whatever, change of possession. But the clock never stopped. These teams would run, pick up a first down, run, pick up a first down, run. They just keep doing it all the time. Then they give the ball either. Maybe eventually they'd have to punt or they kick a field goal or score a touchdown, give the ball to the other team. The other team would run that option and run, pick up 3 yards, pick up 4 yards, pick up 5 yards, get a first down, move the chains, move the clock. And that clock would just roll, like never stop. It was incredible. And that's a clock when you do that. And Oklahoma squeaked it out. But you know what else? I'm going to give Oklahoma fans a ton of credit. You know what they did at the game? They gave Army a standing ovation. Not only for the way they played, but just because these guys are going to do something else. Defend our country. Good for you, people of Oklahoma. Those of you at that game. All right, SB Nation AM rolling along. Tony D, Ron Culver. Again, you want to hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. At Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Otherwise, you're going to get somebody else. You don't want somebody else. You want the Ron Culver. At Ron Culver with two N's. On SB Nation AM, as SB Nation Radio rolls along on a Monday, week 3 in the NFL. Almost done. One more game left tonight.